Swiss Cybersecurity Days Talk. Powered by Handelszeitung.
Welcome to this special episode recorded live at the Swiss Cybersecurity Days in Bern. I'm Tobias Bolzern, and today I'm joined by Nicolas Mayoncourt, founder and CEO of DreamLab Technologies. Nicolas is a pioneer in cybersecurity and has been shaping the field for decades. From his early days as a young hacker to building global security standards, his insights into digital threats and solutions are invaluable. In this episode, we will dive into the evolution of hacking, the growing cyber threats, and what it takes to build a secure and self-determined digital future. What challenges do we face? How can businesses and governments take responsibility? And how can we protect ourselves in an increasing digital world? Let's get started. Nicolas, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Lovely being here.
If you were to look at the first code you ever wrote, what would you think today?
That this was an inspiring and amazing personal moment to interact with the machine on machine language level. This actually defined my trajectory as a person. I'm driven by passion about technology. And what this actually sparks in my mind is, of course, the picture of a young human boy that has fun on a technical level, has fun being creative and innovative and doing things without any limitation and conquering a new field, a technical field. And at the very same time, it of course sparks the memory of the last 30 years I've been doing that. And what I see is that on one hand, technology is moving fast and slow at the same time, because on that pure machine assembly level language, not a lot has changed in the last 30 decades, but the whole environment has changed. Whereas I would have seen myself as a technical worker 30 years ago, I still am today a technical worker, but we are not serving technical needs, we are serving societies.
You mentioned in your report, Cyberspace Switzerland, that over 2.4 million potential vulnerabilities in Switzerland's infrastructure were discovered. Which of those do you consider particularly critical?
Maybe let's start with first pre-finding or meta-analysis.
Please.
We've been doing that now for years. It has become a tradition that we do this yearly. And one of the most striking insights to me personally is that we haven't really improved. The amount and the consistency and the gravity of the vulnerabilities that we have across sectors in Switzerland remains roughly the same compared to the last year. So we are not really advancing, we're not really rectifying, we're not really addressing the problems as we should. And that, to me personally, is one of the most shocking insights and worrying insights that we are not actually progressing as we should as society.
If I look farther away from Switzerland, I see many countries have a clear cyber strategy, but Switzerland often seems hesitant. Why is that? Do we need more pressure, more awareness? What do you think?
That's a very, very good question. And we did actually converse and talk about that in different formats, actually, the last days. Also, it was publicly discussed on a panel. And the reasons to that and the drivers, I wish I would know them all so we could actually name it and address it. To give the clear answer, I don't know, but I can actually guess a little bit what are the driving factors that are making us not move too fast. And I think it's also a global phenomenon, but with the Swiss specificities. So first, let me tackle the global part. Yesterday, we had a consensus on a panel, and we took the automotive and the aero industry as an example. So the car, the vehicles, as well as the planes, happened to be actually pretty safe. Flying is the most safe way of transportation. But that hasn't always been the case. up to the 50s, flying was actually extremely dangerous. Many people needed to die up until a real security culture has been put in place, a positive security culture has been put in place, and each and every incident has been analyzed and has been shared across all industries and society and actually ended up in regulations improving the safety and security of that transport method. Today, this is the safest way to get transported. So this evolution may be missing, and I fear, and I don't like to say this, but I fear that we are not pained enough to take the right decisions and to actually start that journey faster compared to other industries where we have seen that evolution happening already. So we may be just at the start of this process, whereas we do know what would be needed technically. We do know what would be needed in collaboration on the policy level and governance level, yet we are not really taking bold moves and we are not progressing fast. So yesterday on a public panel, there was unfortunately, and I dislike that fact, but it may be true, was the consensus that probably humans, societies need more pain to get moving. In order to actually really directly answer for Switzerland, I also think it's a bit a mix of different factors. We are a wealthy and safe country. So we don't feel any pain. Still, we are moving a little bit. That's good, but not enough. So this is actually the pain factor. But there are other factors in Switzerland, and it may also be our system, our federated system with the direct democracy, which I, by the way, love. I love to be Swiss and I love that system, but it may not be favorable for a centralized, baselined, hardened cybersecurity posture, because that actually means that we need to have one rule and apply it to all the nation and all the federations on the national level, on the canton level, on the community level, on the critical infrastructure level, in order to create a sound cybersecurity posture. So one, we may not feel the heat. Two, our system of a federated nation may complicate things. And three, there may be also a cultural element to it. We as Swiss, we tend to be perfectionists. We are on time. We appreciate high quality. But I believe we are not yet very good at coping with mistakes or failures. We are not very receptive to messaging like, we have a vulnerability, let's fix it. Usually we don't like that. That's what I see in the Swiss culture, we'd rather prefer to hear good news, as everybody does, but we're not so good yet at coping with failures or mistakes and actually just rectifying them.
Mm. Another trend I'm seeing emerging is that Switzerland is increasingly relying on, say, foreign cloud and security providers. Where do you see the biggest loss of control over critical infrastructure if this continues?
Thank you very much for that question. And it's that would be a question for a two-hour conversation. I try to make it as crisp and short as possible. You started with the term cloud, and we're using foreign clouds. Now we have to visualize what actually is a cloud. I think the most easiest way to put that, to make that understandable, it's basically your data on someone else's hard drive. So basically what we're doing is you're putting our data on someone else's hard drive. Now it turns out that this someone else is not within Swiss soil or jurisdiction, which as a logical consequence means we are going to be depending even more and more on the goodwill of the providers. Putting that in perspective with today's world and the development, the geopolitical development, and what we're seeing, what is happening globally, that could be taking very, very high risks, because the global, let's say, rules-based world is being disappearing more and more, is being stressed and challenged more and more, whereas we see that a new, let's say, world order or a new power struggle is emerging, where it isn't very clear who sticks to what rules and why. So I foresee this as a emerging and big risk for us to take, to actually park our data on somebody else's hard drive that happens to be not in Switzerland. In other words, it also means that we at least partially submit to foreign legislation, which is a direct contradiction to sovereignty. How can you keep sovereign when your data is being governed by another jurisdiction? That just simply does not work. So I do believe that we should deeply think about what we are doing, and we should deeply think about our risks and start to actually address them in a more strong way.
You've become one of the big advocates of cybersecurity. Cybersecurity is a very complex topic, yet sometimes it is undermined because people still use passwords 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What still drives you every day to get up and advocate for cybersecurity yet or still?
I can't help it. I was born that way. This is my life passion, so this will never fade out. And what drives me is what initially attracted me to this industry. I do believe that with this innovation, society have the key in their hand to create a utopian society. This technology can really help us a lot and fuel us and propel us to the next level of evolution. And so this is my motivation to secure that development, to help to build a sound cybersecurity posture to secure those innovations. And this will never leave me resting up until we do that in a responsible and a secure fashion.
When you look back at this moment, let's say in 10 years' time, what do you hope will have changed fundamentally in digital security by then?
Another very well and good question. What would I hope would change? So there are different layers to that. I think one, on the technical layer, we have to overcome the cat and mouse paradigm. We actually have to build true secure technologies. So the concepts that have been driving the technology for the last 40 years, they were very good. They brought us to a very, very big, impactful digital fabric. But they're fundamentally missing security properties. And we have to build that and we have to overcome that paradigm. So I would hope that we will take a next evolutionary step on the technical level. Now, when I look at the businesses, humans, and societies being built up on that digital fabric, then I do hope that we can accelerate human evolution and that we can also go for the next step and actually improve or evolve our societal contract to actually include the digital. What do I mean by that? I mean by that we have a society, we have laws, and we have a societal contract where every citizen, every individual has rights and responsibilities. And that has worked very well for the last century in Switzerland. But now we have this digital house, which is changing things. And so I would hope that we will start having a digital societal contract where it is clear what a person has as digital rights, but also as digital responsibilities. How it comes, how do we treat privacy? How do we protect our children? How do we educate for the future? And how do we actually assure that we also have a cyber peace globally? And how do we ensure that our products that we're using on an everyday basis can be employed in a responsible manner so we can actually live up our duties of being conducting responsible business and having a responsible society? So that is on the regulative societal layer. And the third one, I know that human evolution tends to be in very long cycles. So we have, as human embodiment, evolved over thousands of years, and we have mastered the physical dimensions. But now our innovation that we have done 70 years ago, the digital, the internet, the digital fabric, is actually overwhelming us. We don't have a sensory access to that digital fabric. We don't feel when our devices get hacked. We don't feel when they're happy or unhappy. And therefore, we are disconnected by our own innovation. So I hope that this today pure cognitive space will become a new normal so that every person being connected to the internet actually consciously understands what is happening and consciously understands where are risks and chances and what are this person's individual's responsibilities in that digital space.
One final question to go full circle. We're an audio podcast, so people don't see this. You're sitting here now in a suit, still black, but do you also still wear black hoodies?
So I was just using that image. I do actually like hoodies, but the stereotype of the hacker being in the cellar with the black hoodie and the pizza has long gone, has long gone, if ever existed. We don't know. I personally like hoodies. I also personally like actually doing things like every normal human does. I enjoy social contacts, I enjoy sports, I enjoy culture. And so I do believe that we have to get rid of that stereotype. And so I'm very happy about that question. I do also like black, but that just happens to be a personal choice.
Thank you, Nicholas, for these insights and for being our guest.
Thank you so much.
And of course, a big thank you to you, our audience, for tuning in to this special episode for the Swiss Cybersecurity Days in Bern. If you enjoyed the discussion, don't forget to subscribe. And until next time.